Charles Dickens has been called the man who discovered Christmas, and The Christmas Carol has been called the greatest little book in the world. Well, Dickens rediscovered Christmas at any rate, and it's almost impossible to think of Christmas without thinking of him. And now, by your leave, the Booth Broadcasting Company players humbly present Charles Dickens' classic, A Christmas Carol. Marley was dead to begin with. There is no doubt whatever about that. The register of his burial was signed by the clergyman, the clerk, the undertaker, the chief mourner. Scrooge signed it, and Scrooge's name was good for anything he chose to put his name to. Old Marley was dead as a doornail. Scrooge knew he was dead. Of course he did. How could it be otherwise? Scrooge and he were partners for, I don't know how long. Scrooge was his sole executor, his sole administrator, his sole assign, his sole residuary, his sole friend, and his sole mourner. Marley was dead. Scrooge never painted out old Marley's name, however. There it stood, years afterward, above the warehouse door. Scrooge and Marley. The firm was known as Scrooge and Marley. Sometimes people new to the business called Scrooge, Scrooge, and sometimes Marley. He answered to both names. It was all the same to him. Yes, that's old Scrooge. Ebenezer Scrooge. Oh, but he was a tight-fisted hand to the grindstone, was Scrooge. A squeezing, wrenching, grasping, scraping, covetous, clutching old sinner. Hard and sharp as flint, from which no steel had ever struck out generous fire. Secret and self-contained, and solitary as an oyster. The cold within him froze his old features, nipped his pointed nose, shriveled his cheeks, stiffened his gait, made his eyes red, his thin lips blue, and spoke out shrewdly in his grating voice. A frosty rime was on his head and on his eyebrows and his wiry chin. He carried a frost-bitten heart and didn't thaw it one degree at Christmas. That's old Scrooge, Ebenezer Scrooge. It was the afternoon before Christmas Day in the year of our Lord, 1844. And despite the bitterly cold weather, all London was in a festive mood. But there was no happy expression on Ebenezer Scrooge's lined face as he closed the door of his warehouse and returned to his office. He threw a glowering look at his clerk, Bob Cratchit, satisfied that the poor wretch was hard at work. Scrooge adjusted his spectacles and then, without warning...
A Merry Christmas, Uncle. God save you.
Ah, humbug.
Christmas, a humbug? Surely you don't mean that, Uncle.
Humbug. Christmas, indeed. What right have you to be merry? You're poor enough.
What right have you to be dismal? You're rich enough.
Humbug, I say humbug.
Don't be cross, Uncle.
What else can I be when I live in a world of fools like this? Merry Christmas. Out! Out, I say, upon Merry Christmas. What is Christmas time for you but a time for paying bills without money? A time for finding yourself a year older, but not an hour richer. If I had my way, every idiot who goes about with Merry Christmas on his lips would be boiled in oil and buried with a stake of holly through his heart.
Uncle!
Keep Christmas in your own way. Let me keep it in mine.
Keep it, but you don't keep it.
Then let me leave it alone. What good has it ever done you?
There are a lot of things from which I could have profited but didn't, Christmas among them. But I think of Christmas as a good time, a kind, forgiving, charitable, pleasant time. Yeah, the only time I know of in the calendar year when men and women seem to open their hearts to think of their fellow man as if they knew they were really partners to the grave. And therefore, Uncle, although it has never put a scrap of gold or silver in my pocket, I believe it has done me some good and will do me good, and I say God bless Christmas.
And I say good afternoon, friend.
Don't be angry, Uncle. Come dine with us tomorrow.
Go to hell, friend.
But why?
But why did you get married?
Because I fell in love.
Because you fell in love. Good afternoon, friend.
I want nothing from you. I ask nothing.
Good afternoon.
You. Why can't we be friends?
Good afternoon.
Merry Christmas, Uncle.
Good afternoon.
And a Happy New Year.
Good afternoon.
In leaving, Scrooge's nephew opened the outside door to a portly, well-dressed gentleman who asked for and was admitted to Scrooge's inner office by the clerk, Bob Cratchit. Hat in hand, he addressed Ebenezer Scrooge.
Have I the pleasure of addressing Mr. Scrooge or Mr. Marley?
Mr. Marley died 7 years ago this very night.
Well, it makes no difference. I'm sure his generosity will be well represented by a surviving partner.
What do you want?
Well, you see, at Christmas, we try to make some provision for the poor and destitute.
And are there no prisons?
Oh, yes, plenty of prisons.
And the workhouses, are they still in operation?
I wish I could say they weren't. How much can I put you down for, Mr. Scrooge?
Nothing.
Oh, I see you wish to remain anonymous.
I mean nothing.
Nothing?
Exactly nothing, 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 not one thing.
Oh, I see. Well, Merry Christmas to you at any rate, Mr. Scrooge.
Charity, humbug, Christmas, humbug.
Good afternoon, sir.
Humbug!
At length the hour of quitting arrived. Scrooge, with an ill will, snuffed out the candle, put on his cloak, and turning to his clerk Bob Cratchit, said...
Suppose you'll want off all day tomorrow.
Well, if it's convenient,
sir. It's not convenient. It's not fair, either. If I was to hold back a half crown for it, you'd think yourself ill-used, and yet you don't think me ill-used when I pay a day's wages for no work at all.
But it's only once a year, sir.
A poor excuse for picking a man's pocket every 25th of December. I suppose you must have the whole day, but Bob Cratchit be here all the earlier the next morning.
Yes, sir. And a Merry Christmas, sir.
Christmas humbug!
A few minutes later, Scrooge left the warehouse. He made his way through the twilight to his melancholy chambers, a gloomy suite of rooms at best. But then, as he mounted his front steps and inserted his key in the door, let any man explain how he saw in the knocker, not a knocker, but Marley's face. Marley's face, like a bad dream after a lobster dinner. Marley's face, not angry, not ferocious, not sad, simply Marley. Marley's face. Just as Marley used to look, Marley's face. Scrooge looked at Marley's face, and Marley's face looked at Ebenezer Scrooge, and suddenly, Marley's face was again a knocker. Simply that, a knocker. Scrooge opened the door. He looked inside. Nothing but screws and nuts to hold him. Again to the front. A knocker. But Scrooge, being Scrooge, put it down to bad pudding. Only that, tainted food. A good night's rest, and the knocker would be forgotten. So thinking, Ebenezer Scrooge, dismissing the phenomena of Marley's face, mounted the stairs to his rooms. By the light of a single flickering candle, he ate his cold supper. And then, to save lighting his fire, Scrooge retired for the night. The minutes ticked away. Scrooge slept uneasily, tossing from side to side. Suddenly, he awoke with a start. He peered into the gloom, and there, walking toward him, dragging a heavy chain, was a gray, dim figure of a man. It stopped at the foot of the bed.
Who are you? What do you want with me?
Much.
Who are you?
Ask me rather who I was.
All right. Who were you then?
In life, I was your partner, Jacob Marley.
That cannot be. You're dead.
You don't believe in me?
No! No, damn you! No! You're indigestion. You're nothing but an undigested bit of beef. You're a blot of mustard. You're a crumb of cheese.
You're wrong, Ebenezer. I am the ghost of Jacob Marley.
You are humbug. Do you see this toothpick?
I do.
You're not looking at it.
But I see it.
Oh, you do not, and I do not see you.
At this, the spirit gave a frightful cry. It shook its chains in such a dismal and appalling noise that Scrooge held on tight to his chair to save himself from fainting. But how much greater was his horror when the phantom began to unwind a wrapping about its head, as if it were too warm to wear indoors, and Scrooge saw the lower jaw of the thing fall from its face. Ebenezer Scrooge fell upon his knees and hid his face in his hands.
Oh, my God, dreadful apparition, why do you trouble me?
Do you now believe, Ebenezer Scrooge?
I do. I must, but why do spirits walk the earth, and why do they come to me?
It is required of every man that the spirit within him should walk abroad among his fellow men and travel far and wide. And if that spirit goes not forth in life, it is condemned to do so after death.
Your chain, Jacob. Tell me why.
I wear the chain I forged in life. I made it link by link and yard by yard. I wore it of my own free will. Is its pattern strange to you?
I don't understand anything you say, Jacob.
This chain I wear is as heavy as the one you are now forging.
You talk too strangely, Jacob.
For 7 years I have been dead, traveling the whole time. No rest, no peace, only remorse.
But you were always shrewd, Jacob.
Aye, too shrewd.
You were a good man of business.
Business? Mankind was my business. The common welfare was my business. Charity, mercy, forbearance, and benevolence were my business. But I heeded none of these. Instead, I thought only of money.
Don't be hard on me, Jacob. What's wrong with making money?
That's your fault, Ebenezer, as it was mine. That is why I am here tonight. That is part of my penance. I am here to warn you, to help you escape my fate. You have only one chance left.
Tell me how the one chance will come, Jacob.
My time draws near. I must go. Tonight you will be haunted by 3 spirits. The first will appear when the bell strikes 1. Expect the second at the stroke of 2, and the third as the bells toll 3.
I'll make you a deal, Jacob. Couldn't I take them all at once and have it over with?
Take them as they come, Ebenezer Scrooge, and heed them when they appear.
As Scrooge stared in frightened silence, the wraith-like figure of his deceased partner dissolved into space. Exhausted by the ordeal, Scrooge dropped off to sleep. 12 o'clock came. Time passed. And then, the curtains of Scrooge's bed were drawn aside, but by no visible hand. There by the bed stood an unearthly visitor, a strange figure like a child. Its hair was snow white, and in its hand, it held a sprig of holly, fresh green holly.
Are you the spirit whose coming was told me by Jacob Marley?
I am.
Who and what are you?
I am the ghost of Christmas past.
Long past?
No, your past. Rise and walk with me.
Where?
Out through the window.
Oh, but we are 3 stories above ground. I'm immortal.
Bear but a touch of my hand upon your heart, and you shall be upheld in more than this. Come, walk with me out into the night, into the past.
As the words were spoken, they passed through the window and stood upon an open country road with fields on both sides. The city had entirely vanished. The darkness and the mist had vanished with it, for it was a clear, cold, wintry day with snow upon the ground.
Tell me, ghost, where are we?
Look, Ebenezer, and remember back.
Aye, of course. There's the river and the meadows. And my old school. I went there as a lad. Oh, but there's no one about.
It is Christmas holiday. Let us look into the study hall.
Oh, it's empty. Oh, there's a young boy sitting at a desk. Ah, he's left behind. He's crying. Poor chap, no place to go at Christmas.
Do you recognize him? What's his name?
It's Scrooge. Ebenezer Scrooge. I wish, but it's too late now.
What's the matter?
Nothing, ghost, nothing. There were some boys singing carols outside my warehouse door yesterday. I drove them away.
Let's see another Christmas.
It's the school again, ghost.
The boy standing in the driveway, pacing up and down.
It is I.
Now, what do you see?
I see a coach coming up the driveway. A little girl getting out. Oh, look, she's hugging me. It's Fan. It's my sister.
She's come to take you home, Ebenezer. Home to where your whole family will be together. Together for the first time in 4 years.
Dear Fan.
She was such a delicate creature.
So she was. She died comparatively young.
She left a child.
Yes, Fred, my nephew.
He was in to wish you a Merry Christmas yesterday, Ebenezer.
Yes, he did. So take me back, ghost. I can stand no more.
There is one more shadow.
No more. I do not wish to see it.
You must.
I can't.
You must.
Although they had but that moment left the school behind them, They were now in the busy thoroughfares of the city, where shadowy passengers passed and repassed, where shadowy carts and coaches battered for the way, and all the strife and tumult of a real city where it was plain enough by the decorations that here, too, it was Christmas again. But it was evening, and the streets were lighted up. The ghosts stopped at a certain warehouse door, and they went in. They caught sight of an old gentleman in a white wig sitting behind a high desk.
Why, it's old Fezziwig! Bless his heart, it's Fezziwig alive again!
Ho, Ebenezer! Ho, Dick! No more work tonight! Christmas Eve! Let's have the shutters up before a man can say Jack Robinson!
Do you remember, Ebenezer?
Oh, yes, yes, I do!
Do you remember the party old Fezziwig had?
I remember!
The cakes, the ale...
Yes, yes, and more and
the
more!
The fiddlers, the dancers, the girls. Do you remember the girls,
oh,
Ebenezer?
Yes, I do! Oh, I do!
Curious way to treat an employee.
What?
Much better to treat them as you do your clerk, Bob Cratchit.
Spirit, show me no more.
Still one more shadow. The years have passed. In the house below, look, there sits a young girl, a beautiful girl.
It's Belle.
The girl you were to marry. And there you sit next to her, a young man in your prime. Only now your face begins to show the signs of avarice. Another idol has displaced her, a golden one.
Oh, spirit, be kind. Show me no more.
Belle is happy now, Ebenezer, surrounded with her children. Those children might have been yours.
Take me back. Haunt me no more.
The steeple clock had just finished striking the second hour of Christmas Day when Scrooge found himself back in his own bedroom. Slowly his door, though bolted, swung wide open, and there stood a giant of a man, clothed in one simple green robe, bordered with white fur. His feet were bare, and on his head he wore a holly wreath set with shining icicles. Around his waist was an antique scabbard, but no sword was in it, and the ancient sheath was eaten away with rust.
Look upon me, Ebenezer Scrooge, for I am the ghost of Christmas present. You've never seen the like of me before.
I have never. Are you here to take me with you?
Yes, and I trust you will profit by your journey. Touch my robe, Ebenezer. There is a place we must visit. It's a very poor house in a very poor section of London. This one, directly below us.
Indeed it is, poor ghost. Who, may I ask, lives there?
An underpaid clerk named Bob Cratchit.
The Bob Cratchit who works for me?
The very same.
That woman, ghost. Those four children.
His wife and family.
And now coming up the stairs, that's Cratchit there.
Yes.
He's carrying a young boy on his shoulders.
His fifth child, a lad named Tiny Tim.
But he has crutches in both hands.
Only because he's crippled.
But what about the doctor?
On 15 shillings a week.
But ghost!
Listen.
Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon.
Father, Tiny Tim. And how did Tiny Tim behave in church?
Oh, as good as gold. Even better. You know, somehow he gets thoughtful sitting by himself so much, and he thinks the strangest things you ever heard. You know, he told me coming home that he hoped the people saw him in church because he was a cripple, and it might be pleasant for them to remember upon Christmas Day who made lame beggars walk and who made blind men see.
God bless him.
The big question, Mother, is when will dinner be ready?
It's ready now. The finest goose you ever seen.
Martha, you carry it in.
Tom, you fetch the potatoes and the turnips.
Dick, Peter, set the chairs around the table, and I shall carry Tiny Tim.
There never was such a goose. Bob said there was never such a goose cooked. Its tenderness and flavor, size and cheapness, were the themes of universal admiration. With applesauce and mashed potatoes, it was sufficient dinner for the whole family indeed.
Ghost, I could have eaten the whole bird myself, I believe.
It's all Bob Cratchit can afford. But his family doesn't complain. To them, that meager goose is a sumptuous banquet. But they're happy. Listen to them, Scrooge.
Oh, what a superb dinner we've had,
the
Mother.
The plum pudding, Father. Don't forget the plum pudding.
Why, Tim, I believe that pudding was the greatest success achieved by Mrs. Cratchit since your marriage.
Thank you for the compliment. I must admit it was good.
Now for the crowning touch, the punch.
Make a toast, Father, make a toast.
First, to the founder of this feast, the man who made it possible. I give you Mr. Scrooge.
Mr. Scrooge, indeed. The founder of the feast. I'd give him a piece of my mind to feast upon, and I hope he'd have a good appetite for it.
My dear, it's Christmas Day.
He's a hard, stingy, unfeeling man. You know he is, Bob, better than anyone else.
My dear, remember the children.
I'm sorry. Very well. A Merry Christmas to him, and a long life to him.
To Mr. Scrooge. And now a toast to us. A Merry Christmas, and God bless us.
God bless us.
God bless us, everyone.
Spirit, tell me, will Tiny Tim live?
I see a vacant seat in the corner. A poor crutch without an owner, carefully preserved. If these shadows remain unaltered by the future, the child will die.
Oh, no, Spirit, tell me that he will live.
Why concern yourself? If he's going to die, let him be about it and decrease the surplus population.
But these poor people must be helped.
Are there no prisons? And the workhouses, are they still in operation?
Oh, don't taunt me, Spirit, don't taunt me!
It is time for us to go. Touch my robe, Ebenezer.
On they went, and much they saw, and many homes they visited, but always with a happy end. The spirits stood beside sick beds, and they were cheerful. They stood on foreign lands and close at home. They stood by struggling men, and they were patient. They stood by poverty, and it was rich. It was a long night, if it were only a night. It was strange, too, that while Scrooge remained unaltered in his outward form, the ghost grew older, clearly older.
Are spirits' lives so short?
My life upon this globe is very brief. It ends tonight.
Tonight!
Hark, the time is drawing near to midnight.
Spirit, forgive me if I'm not justified in what I ask. But I see something strange, and not belonging to yourself, sticking out from the bottom of your robes. Is that a foot or a claw?
In answer, the ghost opened his robe and brought forth two children. Wretched, abject, frightful, hideous, miserable. They clung to his robe. They were a boy and a girl. Yellow, meager, ragged, scowling, wolfish, but prostrate, too, in their humility. Where graceful youth should have filled their features out, an aged and shriveled hand had pinched and twisted them and pulled them into shreds.
Spirit, are they yours?
They are man's, and they cling to me. The boy is ignorance, the girl is want. Beware them both, Ebenezer, but especially the boy, for he is the real evil of mankind.
Have they no refuge, Spirit, no resources?
Are there no prisons? Are there no workhouses?
The clock struck the third hour of Christmas Day as Scrooge came to his senses. He discovered himself again in his lodgings. Ebenezer Scrooge remembered the prediction of Jacob Marley and lifted up his eyes to behold a solemn phantom coming like a mist toward him. The phantom slowly, gravely, silently approached. It was shrouded in a deep black garment which concealed its head, its face, its form, and left nothing of it visible except one outstretched hand.
Am I in the presence of the ghost of Christmas yet to come? Will you show me the shadows of the things that have not yet happened, but will happen in the time before us? You don't speak, Spirit. Can you speak? You cannot speak. Is that it? Is that it? You cannot speak? Oh, ghost of the future, I fear you more than any specter I have yet seen. Won't you speak to me? Then lead on, lead on. The time is going, and it's precious time to me, I know. Lead on, Spirit.
The phantom moved away. Scrooge followed in the shadow of its robes, which bore him up and carried him along. The city seemed to spring up about them. The spirit stopped beside a small group of businessmen.
Well, I don't know much about it either way. I know he's dead.
Yeah, when did he die?
Last night, I believe.
I thought he'd never die.
Well, what has he done with his money?
I haven't heard. Left it to his company, maybe.
One thing, sir, and he didn't leave it to me.
Or to charity.
Not another word. That was their meeting, their conversation, and their parting. Scrooge couldn't understand. These conversations could scarcely have any bearing on the death of Jacob Marley, for that was past. And this ghost's province was the future. Scrooge couldn't understand. They left the busy scene and went to an obscure part of town where Scrooge had never gone before. The streets were foul and narrow. The shops and houses wretched. The people drunk, noisy, ugly. Scrooge and the Phantom entered a dirty shop. Refuse, paper, old iron, scraps lay everywhere. Two men were poring over the contents of a greasy bundle that lay between them.
There, every person has a right to take care of themselves. He always did.
Open it up, open it up. What's the loss of a few things like these to a dead man?
Well, what have you got, what have you got? Mind, I'll not pay out good money for trash.
Here, I've got his cufflinks and a pair of his boots.
Oh, half a crown and no more.
I've stolen his bedsheets and some silver teaspoons and his bed curtains.
Bed curtains? You don't mean to say you took him down rings and all with him lying there.
Ah, yes, I did, and why not?
Dirty old man, you were born to make a fortune and you'll do it.
Here, don't drop the wax from the candles on his blankets.
His blankets?
Well, who else? He isn't likely to take cold without him.
I hope he didn't die of anything catching.
No, he died of a steely heart. And that's the end of it. He frightened everyone away while he lived. We're the only ones to profit from his death.
Ghost, let me see some tenderness connected with this man's death, please.
The ghost conducted Scrooge through several streets familiar to his feet. And as they went along, Scrooge looked here and there to find himself, but nowhere was he to be seen. They entered poor Bob Cratchit's house, the dwelling he had visited before, and they found the mother and the children seated round the fire, quiet. Very quiet. The noisy little Cratchits were as statues in one corner.
You'll strain your eyes working in this bad light, Mother.
I'll stop for a while. I wouldn't show weak eyes to your father when he comes home.
These days, he walks slower than he used to, Mother.
I've known him to walk with Tiny Tim upon his shoulders very fast indeed. He was very light to carry, your father said, and he loved him.
There's Father now at the door.
You're late tonight, Bob.
Yes, I'm late.
I'll get some tea for you.
Thank you.
Did you go there today, Bob?
Yes. Yes, Martha. It's a green place. A green place. I wish you could have seen it.
I'll see it soon.
You know, Martha, I was thinking. At last, my Tiny Tim got rid of his crutch. I know, Martha, that when we recall how patient and how mild he was, although he was a little child, we'll not forget our Tiny Tim. Our Tiny Tim.
Spirit, will Tiny Tim have to die?
In answer to this question, the spirit bade Scrooge once again to clutch his robe, and once again they were borne aloft. The ghost of Christmas yet to come conveyed him as before. The spirit did not stay for anything, but went straight on as to the end of a journey, until they saw below a churchyard, a desolate place walled in by houses, overrun by grass and weeds, a desolate place. The spirit stood among the graves and pointed to one. Scrooge advanced toward it, trembling.
Spirit, before I draw nearer to that stone, answer me one question, please. Are these the shadows of things that will be, or are they the shadows of things that could be? You will never answer, but you point to the tombstone. It reads, Ebenezer Scrooge. Oh, no, Spirit, no. Why show me this if I am past all hope? I can still change these shadows you have shown me by a changed life. I will honor Christmas in my heart. And I will keep it all the year. I live in the past, the present, and the future. The spirit of all these will be within me. I'll not shut out the lessons that you've taught me. Tell me that I may sponge away the writing on this stone, Spirit, please.
In his agony, Scrooge caught the spectral hand. It tried to free itself, but Scrooge was strong, and he held it. The spirit was stronger yet, and it repulsed him. Scrooge held up his hands in a last prayer, and suddenly he saw an alteration in the spirit's hood and dress. It shrunk, collapsed, and dwindled down into...
My bedpost! I'm in my own bed! I'm home!
Yes, the bedpost was his own, the bed was his own, the room was his own, and best and happiest of all, the time before him was his own to make the most of.
I will live in the past, the present, and the future. The spirits of all three shall live within me. Oh, Jacob Marley, I say it on my
Scrooge was so flustered, so glowing, so happy that his broken throat could scarcely give voice, his face wet with tears.
They are not torn down. My bed curtains are here, rings and all. They are here, and I am here.
His hands were busy with his clothing all the time, trying to get them on, turning them inside out, putting them on upside down.
I don't know what to do. I'm like a feather. I'm like an angel. I'm happy as a schoolboy. I'm drunk. Merry Christmas, everyone. And again, I say Merry Christmas. Hello, world, and a Happy New Year. There's the door. Jacob Marley came through that door. There's the corner where the ghost of Christmas present sat. And there's the window where I went a-flying. It's all right. It all happened. It's all true. I don't know how long I've been among the spirits. I don't know what day it is. I don't know anything. I'm just like a baby. But I don't care. I'd rather be a baby. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year, world.
Scrooge was checked in his happiness by the sudden peal of bells ringing from the myriad churches. The lustiest bells he'd ever heard. Clash, clang, hammer, ding, dong, bell, bell, bell. Dong, ding, hammer, clang, clash, glorious bells. Scrooge ran to the window. He opened it and he put out his head. There was no fog. There was no mist. It was clear. It was bright. It was jovial. It was stirring, cold, cold. It fair made the blood dance. Golden sunlight, heavenly sky, sweet fresh air, and the glorious bells. Scrooge looked downward to a raggedy boy.
What's today, my fine fellow?
What?
What's today? What's today, my fine fellow? What is today?
Well, it's Christmas Day, sir. Today is Christmas
it's
Day.
It's Christmas Day. It's Christmas Day. I haven't missed it. It's Christmas Day. The spirits have done it all in one night. They can do anything they want to. Of course they can. Of course they can. Hello, my fine lad. Hello.
Hello, sir.
Do you know the butcher shop, the one down at the corner?
Of course I do.
A fine lad, an intelligent lad. Do you know whether they've sold the big turkey, the one that's hanging? Not the little prize turkey, but the big one.
You mean the one that's as big as me, sir?
A delightful boy, a remarkable boy. It's a pleasure to talk to you. Yes, my boy, the one that's as big as you.
Yes, sir, it's hanging there now, sir.
It is. Go and buy it.
What?
No, no, my boy. Go and buy it. Go and bring it here, and I'll give you half a crown. I'll send it to Bob Cratchit. That's what I'll do, and he'll never even know who sent it. That turkey's twice the size of Tiny Tim.
The hand in which he wrote the address was not a steady hand, but it did write somehow, and the same hand went downstairs to open the street door, and the same hand was ready to receive the turkey from the poulterer's man as he stood at the front door. The front door knocker caught his eye.
I shall love it as long as I live, this knocker, and I've never even looked at it before. What an honest expression it has on its face. What a marvelous knocker, a wonderful knocker. And here's the turkey. Hello, turkey, and a Merry Christmas to you.
Scrooge made ready to go, and shaving was not an easy task, for his hand continued to shake very much. And shaving requires attention, even when you don't dance while you're at it. But if he had cut the end of his nose off, he would have put a piece of sticking plaster on it and been quite satisfied. He dressed himself in his best and at last left his small apartment and went into the streets. The people were by this time pouring forth, just as they were when he had been with the ghost of Christmas present, Scrooge walking with his hands behind him, regarding everyone with a benign smile. For the first time in his life, he looked so pleasant that three or four men said, "Merry Christmas to you, sir." And Scrooge, years afterwards, said that of all the sounds he had ever heard, those were the nicest to his ears. He had not gone far when, coming toward him, he beheld the same portly gentleman who had walked into his counting house the day before.
My dear sir, how do you do, and a Merry Christmas to you, sir.
Mr. Scrooge?
Yes, that is my name, and I fear it may not be pleasant to you. Allow me to beg your pardon for my dastardly behavior, and will you accept with my apologies £500?
Lord bless me, my dear Mr. Scrooge, are you serious?
If you please, sir, and not a farthing less. A great many back payments are included, and will you do me this favor?
My dear sir, I don't know what to say.
Don't say anything. Come and see me. Please, come and see me.
Oh, I will, and thank you, sir. God bless you, sir.
It is I who should thank you, and God bless you, sir.
Scrooge went to church for the first time in many Sundays. He walked about the streets, he watched the people, and he patted small children on the head. In short, he found everything that could give him pleasure. And then, on the spur of a moment, he turned his steps in the direction of his nephew's house. I swear upon all that is holy. Ebenezer Scrooge walked back and forth in front of his nephew's house a 600 times before he could gather the courage to knock on the door.
Fred, I have come to dinner.
Who is it?
It is I, Uncle Ebenezer. Will you let me in? From now on, I plan to be one of your most persistent guests. Will you let me in, Fred?
Let him in? It's a wonder Fred didn't shake his arm off. Scrooge was at home in 5 minutes. Everything looked just the same. And as it turned out, it was the same. The same wonderful food, the same wonderful party, the same wonderful Christmas. But he was early at the office next morning. If he could just be the first, if he could just catch Bob Cratchit coming in late, that was the thing he had set his heart on. And he did it. Yes, he did. The clock struck 9. No Bob. A quarter past. No Bob. He was 18 minutes past 9 o'clock. Scrooge sat with his door open that he might see him come in. Bob's hat was off before he opened the door. His muffler, too. He was on the high stool quicker than a wink.
Bob Cratchit, what do you mean by coming here at this time of the day?
I'm sorry, sir. I am behind my time. It won't happen again, sir.
You are behind your time, sir. I believe you are. If you wouldn't mind stepping in here a moment. Now then, my friend, I'll tell you what. I'm not going to stand this sort of thing any longer. And therefore, Bob Cratchit, the only thing I can do is raise your salary. Merry Christmas, Bob. A merrier Christmas than I've given you in many a year. Not only will I raise your salary, but if you'd like, I'd like to help your struggling family and Tiny Tim. How is Tiny Tim? How is my Tiny Tim? What a wonderful thing, Christmas. If I could say it, I would. Merry Christmas to all!
Scrooge was much better than his word. He did all that he promised and much, much more. And to Tiny Tim, his Tiny Tim, who did not die, he was a second father. He became as good a friend, as good an employer, and as good a man as this world of ours ever knew. True, some people laughed to see the change in him, but Ebenezer Scrooge let them laugh, and he paid not the least bit of attention to them, because Scrooge was wise enough to know that many things happened in this world which neither he nor anyone else could explain. But Scrooge was also wise enough to know that some things, no matter how strange, should be accepted without question. Scrooge never had any more dealings with spirits, but ever after that wondrous night, it was said of him that he knew how to keep Christmas in his heart if any man alive possessed that knowledge. And I sincerely hope that the same can be said for you. And so as Tiny Tim once a long time ago said, God bless us, everyone. Charles Dickens wrote The Christmas Carol many years ago. It has survived those years because of its message, and that message is clear. God bless your fellow man. The part of Ebenezer Scrooge was played by Bob Martz, Bob Cratchit by Terry Shaw, Fred by Bill Webb, The Businessman by Bill Hughes, Marley's Ghost by J.J. Shannon. The Ghost of Christmas Past by John Gary, The Ghost of Christmas Present by Clyde LaForce, Fezziwig by J.J. Shannon, Mrs. Cratchit by Carol Connolly of Anthony Wayne High School, Tiny Tim by Bill Webb, The Second Two Businessmen by John Gary and Bill Hughes, The Two Robbers by Bill Hughes and Terry Shaw. A Christmas Carol was written for radio by Bob Martz and Bill Webb, directed by Bill Webb. Sound effects and engineering by Bill Manders. I played the role of narrator, and this is John Gary. And now from all of us,
Merry Christmas!